Okay, so welcome everybody. Now I always give a shiur right before Pesach. As a matter of fact, I usually give the shiur twice. Usually I give the shiur on Shabbos HaGadol, which is usually in my shul in Ivrit, in Hebrew. And then, depending how the shiur goes, I will decide to give it after Shabbos also. When I give a shiur Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuvah, it's always very, very challenging. What do I want to speak about? In other words, it has to be a certain topic that's very important, even though really every Shabbos I think about a certain topic, but something which I think is very relevant to the time. And sometimes I might not have an idea until a few days before the shiur. However, this year, unfortunately, in Israel, it was very clear what I want to talk about. And I think it really represents a problem that Jews all over the world have to deal with on some level. And it's an endemic issue that we've always had. I want to notice that this year, I noticed that in Eretz Yisrael, especially, I'm sure in Eretz Yisrael, where the main focus of the problem was, there was, as I refer to it, as a chisaron of achdus, choser achdus. There was a lot of unity that was missing. And it was actually tangible. Wherever you went, you would hear people were so upset at each other. And unfortunately, this is the problem which is endemic to Klal Yisrael since the time of the Second Temple. But I really felt it more here, and not only I feel it more here, I think mostly everybody felt it here. I even heard some people who were not religious saying that they spoke about the Sinat Chinam, and they even spoke about the fact that the Sinat Chinam caused the destruction of the Second Temple, and we have to somehow or another come together. And even though we have different political views, we have different outlooks on life, it's very important that we come together. And for that reason, I felt it was very important to somehow find the connection in that topic and the Haggadah. And I would like to begin and really to talk about Pesach night and how the concept of Achdus unity is so important to Pesach night. But that's not just to complain about the lack of unity that exists within the Jewish people. And I would say, by the way, obviously, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, but unfortunately, it's an issue that has plagued Klal Yisrael for generations, whether in Golis or in Eretz Yisrael. We go ahead and we make decisions about people. We put people in groups, and because of that, we react in a certain way. And as I said, it's something which has been plaguing us since the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Second Temple. My father even told me, I once asked my father, about what it was like for a Lithuanian boy to grow up in Warsaw. And he said to me, he told me it was challenging because, again, I guess the boys in Poland had a very hard time with immigrants from Lithuania, Jewish immigrants from Lithuania. But then he said to me, it would have been the same thing for a boy from Poland growing up in Vilna, in Lithuania. We've always had this issue. So I'd like to first focus on how important Achdus is, and then maybe to come up with somewhat of a solution on some level for us, because to raise problems, who needs to raise problems? Everyone loves to raise problems. I'm not really interested in hearing problems or suggesting problems unless we can come to a solution. So at the end of the year, hopefully I will go ahead and I will suggest a solution. Anyways, the Haggadah, you know, the point of the Haggadah, Pesach night, is to feel the exodus from Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim. He has to see himself as he left Mitzrayim. And then we go right into Hallel. This is a Hallel of Shira, as we all know. The Hallel that we're supposed to experience is Man Hanes. But if you take a look at source number one, it's on the screen. Right out, it's actually from the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. That God is based on this. The Mishnah says, Bechol Dor Vador, in every single generation, Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, a person has to see himself, like he left Mitzrayim. To Nemar, as the Pasuk says, you should tell your son on that day, because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me when I left Mitzrayim. And the question, and it's a simple halacha that we all know, we have to sort of act, we have to do something, we have to read the Haggadah, feel the Haggadah, come up with certain tricks even to really feel like we're leaving Mitzrayim. Something we say every single year, and then because of that, once we reach that stage, that level, we can say Hallel. Fine, great Mishnah, it's right out of the Haggadah also. However, you look in source number two, immediately after the Mishnah, Rava comes along and Rava adds, Amar Rava says, Tzarech Sheyomar, you have to say, Vosanu Hotzi Misham, and we were taken out of there. And the question that we have to ask is, what is Rava adding to this Mishnah? In other words, what was missing? The Mishnah points out that b'chol dar v'dar chayiv adam liris es atzmo, based on a pasuk, that you should tell your son, bavur zeh asa Hashem li, God did for me. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu did it for me, then obviously when I left that Mitzrayim, means I left Mitzrayim. So why does Rava add, and you have to mention the pasuk, v'osanu hotzi misham, he took us out of there. We already know this from the pasuk of Vor zeh asa Hashem li. What is the chiddush of Rava? What would be missing if Rava did not add that extra pasuk? And so Rishonim deal with that. The Or Cheschayim in source number 3, which I'm not going to elaborate on, but Or Cheschayim points out that maybe if you just had one pasuk, Vavur Zas Hashem Li, you would think it's a nice thing. It's not necessary. Along comes Rava and says, no, there's a second pasuk. It's ma'ake. If you really want to become the mitzvah, you have to say, Vosanu Hotzi Misham. I'm sorry, you have to feel like you left Mitzrayim. You just can't be a historical tale. Yeah, that's what the Or Cheschayim say, many Rishonim. However, I believe that the Rambam would have to say something different. Why? Because the Or Cheschayim's shot is based on the fact that there are two psukim. V'yigad l'vincha v'yomu leimor, avor z'asa shemli. The Rambam, we look in source number 4, he takes out the whole pasuk of v'yigad l'vincha. Look at source number 4, the Rambam says, v'chol dor v'dor, in every single generation, chayiv adam, a person is obligated, v'chol dor v'dor, chayiv adam liris es atzmo, laharis es atzmo, to make himself look, like he himself went out, Mishuv ben Mitzrayim, from the bondage of Egypt, Shenemar, Vosanu Hotsu Misham, that he took us out of Egypt, from there he took us out, us he took out from there, Valdavar Zakarj Baruch Hu commanded, Vizacharti Ebra Isa. So the Rambam leaves out the word totally, the pasuk totally, Vavor Zas Hashem Li. He just includes the pasuk of Rava, Vosanu Hotsu Misham. So according to the Rambam, it seems that Rava is saying, don't even say v'yigad l'vincha. That's just for your own knowledge. But it's very important to say v'osanu hotzi misham, and the question is why. Okay, this is the first question. If you go ahead and look at the source number 5, the Rambam's Haggadah, v'v'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam l'haris is atzmo, a person has to make himself look as if he left Mitzrayim, and not just our forefather, shaloz avotenu bilvad golol ala apotanu. He took us out of there. So the Rambam only includes the pasuk Osanu Hotzi Misham. And the question is, what does that pasuk add? Why did Rava feel that pasuk was so important, so unique, that that's the pasuk that had to be mentioned? That's the first question I want to deal with. Okay, I'm going to mention a few more questions, and then before we come to the answers, I'll review the questions. That was the first question. The second question, probably a much more famous part of the Haggadah, the four sons, I'd like to deal now with the Rasha. And when we deal with the Rasha says, number 6, Rasha Mahu Omer, Ma Avoda Zos Lachem, what is this service that you're doing? He walks in, sees the Korban Pesach, Lachem Velolo, this is for you, not for me. I want no part of this. This is all for you. Like, I don't want part of this. And because he sort of excluded himself from the group, Am Yisrael, Kafar Ve'ikar, it's like he denied the whole existence of everything. I want to use the word blunt his teeth, and say to him, Hashem did for me when I left Mitzrayim, believe alolo, for me and not for you, for him. If he was there, Loya Nigel would not be redeemed. From the simple reading of the Haggadah, it seems that someone is a Rasha who would not have left Egypt. We tell the Rasha, if you were there, you wouldn't have left. This is your attitude? You wouldn't have left. The Rishayim didn't leave. We know it's not true. We know the Rishayim did leave Egypt. Yes, we do know there were certain Rishayim that did not make it out of Egypt. Chazal say that only 1/5 of Klal Yisrael left Egypt. Very difficult to understand, wrap your head around that. But yes, there's a chazal. But there's another Chazal that says there were Rishonim that left. You look at source number 7, and in regard to the Shira, when the Jewish people were going through the Yamsuf, the Jews were going through the Yamsuf in source number 7. So it says, "Ubnei Yisrael hayichul bayavasha betoch hayam." The Jews were walking in the dry land in the midst of the sea. Hayu malach hashares matmim. The angels were wandered. Bnei Adam, these people, shavdu avodah zara, they worshipped the idols. Yavdu yavru bayavasha, they should cross in dry land. And not only the angels, they ask, even the Yam was nismal elam chaim, was very upset. How can he allow these Jews who worshipped idols and were trying to pass and wanted to drown them all? Because above it says, before it says, a mayim was choma, wall, makan, and here it's written, chema, as anger. So what happened? Pasuk says, they were saved, miminam, mismolam, the right and the left, bischus haTorah, ubischus tvilin. Question what that means, but bottom line, from this mechilta we see that there were Rishoyim that worshipped idols in Egypt and they still left. So even though the Haggadah implies if someone would have been in Egypt, he would have gone ahead. If this Rasha would have been in Egypt, he would have stayed in Egypt and left in Egypt. We do know there were Rishoyim who left Egypt. And the question is, what is the difference between this Rasha that we said such a Rasha would have stayed in Egypt, probably would have died in Egypt maybe even, and the Rishoyim that didn't leave Mitzrayim at that time, according to the Mechilka, that they passed through the Yam Suf. Now, I would just point out, and we'll get to it later, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that even though there were Rishoyim that would have stayed in Egypt and would not have left Egypt, similar to the Rosh of Ar HaGadah, such a Rosh today is still part of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? In other words, well, we'll come back to Reb Tzadok later. Okay, so then that was question number 7. What's the difference between question number 2? What's the difference between Russia that left Egypt and the Russia we imply would not have left Egypt? The next question is that if you look at source number 9, and then we'll come back to source number 8. So the Haggadah, I would divide into 4 parts, Magid. The first part of the Haggadah, Magid, which is a pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, the first part is the Jewish people going down to Egypt, being successful, growing, becoming more powerful. The second part of Magid is about the enslavement. That's the second pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. The slavery, the bondage, the suffering. The third part is the Jewish people crying out to Hashem and davening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting the tefillos. And the fourth pasuk is the Jews leaving Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. And then we have the fifth pasuk of the Jews coming to Eretz Yisrael. So you can, when you read the Haggadah this year, you can divide the Haggadah and Magid into 4 parts. The first part is the Jewish people coming down to Mitzrayim and describing what they were in Mitzrayim. Look at source number 9. This is the end of the first part. Rav Kenem Shemar, they were many, they increased, they were multiplied. Ravava kitzema chatzana saticha, I made you like the grass of the field, but tirbali, and you're ready, you matured. And then it says, va'at eryom v'eryah. And even though you were in Egypt doing well, you were naked. What were you naked from? All the Rishonim point out, they were naked from mitzvahs. The Jews did not have mitzvahs. And that was the end of the first part. If you look at the very end of source number 9, we have a snippet in the Haggadah, the Evar Alayich, the Erech, Misposesis, the Mayich, the Omerlach, the Mayich, Hayi, the Omerlach, the Mayich, Hayi. And I passed over you, he says, and I saw you were wallowing in blood, and I said, you will live by your blood, you will live by your blood. And you should know, this part of the Haggadah, this last few words I just mentioned, is not mentioned in the Haggadah of the Rishonim. You look at source number 8, the Rambam's Haggadah, it's not there. In many Haggadahs, I actually have a Haggadah Otzer Rishonim, where it's in parentheses. I remember as a child, 1 or 2 years, the Haggadah I used did not have this in there. And I remember my father saying it, and I wonder what was going on. I thought maybe it was, you know, a brisker thing. Certain words that you say are not in the Haggadah. Now most Haggadahs have this. I understand these words, V'Averloch, V'Rechmes, Possessive, the Mayach, was added by the Arizal. And I think it's become pretty standard in most Haggadah today that we say this, V'Averloch. And what is shot with these last few words? So we just said the Jews were naked. They had no mitzvahs. Well, what's Chus did leave Mitzrayim? So if you look in Mechilta number 10, we were wallowing in blood. Which blood were we wallowing in? We were wallowing in the blood, Dam Bris Milah and Dam Korban Pesach. And v'schus those two mitzvos, we left Mitzrayim. So the question is, if it's v'schus those two mitzvos, left Mitzrayim. So if that's what this line means, this line's in the wrong place. This part of the Haggadah is speaking about the Jews descending to Mitzrayim, their success. The next part of the Haggadah deals with the slavery, the bondage, the suffering. The third part of Magid deals with the tefillos, the davening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting the tefillos. And the fourth part deals with leaving Mitzrayim. At the very end of the fourth part of Magid, right before they left, that's when they did Bris Milah, that's when they did Korban Pesach. That's when they were wallowing in blood. So why is this line mentioned at the end of the first part of Magid? It's seemingly out of place. Talking about the schus that they left Mitzrayim with as we're talking about them coming down to Mitzrayim. That's the third question. And the fourth question is very similar. Well, not so similar. The fourth question is about the that idea that they left the schus to two mitzvos. So, Hayra Mashiv and Choresh Omer, what does it mean? He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and he saw it was time to take Jews out of Mitzrayim. But lo hayu biyodam, they had no mitzvos that they can be involved in. So what happened? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them two mitzvos, Dam Pesach, Dam Kor, and Dam Bris Milah. So those two mitzvos, b'schus those two mitzvos left Mitzrayim. The question is, why b'schus those two mitzvos? What is, I would say, the Tzad HaShava? What is the attribute that really ties those two together? That b'schus those two mitzvos, Jews left Mitzrayim. So that was the fourth question. Two more very quick questions, and then we'll try to put it together. You look at source number 11, you know, Korban Pesach, really a night of, Pesach night, a night of Korban Pesach. There's a pasuk, source number 11, in Parshas Baloscha, v'chiyagorid chager, if a convert lives with you, v'asa Pesach, he's Jews Korban Pesach. So the Medrash has a habamina. What does that mean? When a ger lives with you, we should the kind of mitzvah Korban Pesach. You might think that as soon as he converts, right away, he asks him the kind of mitzvah Korban Pesach. So if you have a ger who converts, Kodesh Cheshvan, Kodesh Kislev, he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, his Machmir Korban Pesach. And just like, you know, when a male converts to become a Jew, you know, whatever time he converts, if it's in the daytime, he has to go out and put on tefillin right away. So you might have thought that maybe it's what it's referring to is that a ger, as soon as he converts, has to be a Korban Pesach. Mark Torah says, no, ke'ezrach, like a regular citizen. Just like Jews who are born Jewish only bring the Korban Pesach on Yudalid or Nisan or on Yudalid Iyar Pesach Sheini, the ger brings his Korban on Yudalid Nisan. If he converts between Yudalid Nisan, Yudalid Iyar, he doesn't bring a Kor Pesach Sheni. In other words, that's Ke'ezrach. But we would have thought that maybe this new ger should bring a Korban as soon as he converts. And Gemara and Torah says no. But the question is, how do we understand that? Why would you think that as soon as you convert, you have to bring a Korban Pesach? We don't feel that as soon as you convert, you have to go ahead and shake lulav, you have to blow shofar, you have to go ahead and I do other mitzvot. They only come once a year. There aren't that many, but you know, fast Yom Kippur. No, but we might have thought that he has to bring a Korban Pesach immediately. And the question is why. And the last question I would just add: if you look at source number 12, the Rambam says in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Hamachel Kazayis from the Pesach Mumar Avodah Zarah. If someone feeds a Kazayis from the Korban Pesach to a Mumar Avodah Zarah, that's a Jew who worships the Avodah Zarah, worships idols. You know, he knows that it's an usher to worship idols, but he doesn't care. He still does it. You're not allowed to go ahead and feed him Korban Pesach. And if you do, you're over Lo Saseh. What's it based on? Vayom Rashem Moshe Va'aron Zos Chukas HaPesach. This is the source number 13. This is Chukas HaPesach. Kol Ben Necher Lo Yochel Bo. Any stranger should not eat it. And the Ben Necher Rashi says is either a non-Jew or a person who acts like a non-Jew versus a Avodah Zarah. Fine, so you're not allowed to feed, even though you have a Korban Pesach, you have a Chabura, a group of people eating. You can't feed this to a guy, you can't be part of your Chabura, or to a Jew who worships idols. Okay? So, very nice. However, it's very unique halacha. Why? Because in general, there's halacha that when it comes to korbanos, we compare a mummer who worships idols to a mummer who, a Jew who was mechalel Shabbos. He doesn't care about Shabbos. He wants to go ahead. He wants to do whatever he wants. He's a mummer mechalel Shabbos. And in general, we actually compare a mummer who worships idols, a Jew who worships idols, to a Jew who constantly is mechalel Shabbos, the parhesia, in front of people, not in the privacy of his home. And the Rambam says in source number 15 that you're not allowed to accept a korban from any Jew who is a mummer l'avodah zarah, or who worships idols, or a Jew who is mechalel Shabbos in public, violates Shabbos in public. So we see the Rambam, when it comes to korbanos in general, compares and equates a mummer worships idols to a mummer who was violate Shabbos in public. However, when it comes to Korban Pesach, the mummer worship idol stands alone. In this situation, you can actually invite a mummer who's mechalel Shabbos to your Korban Pesach, eat your Korban Pesach, even though the Gemara and Chulin equates the two. They're usually very similar. When it comes to Korban Pesach, the mummer mechalel Shabbos can't be mechalel the Korban Pesach, need the Korban Pesach. And the question is why. So just to review the questions very quickly, and then we'll come to the answer. First question was when the Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim that a person has to see himself as if he left the Mitzrayim, and the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, Vavur Zos Hashem Li, because of this, God took me out of Egypt. Rava adds the words, Vosano Hotzim Yisham. And you have to say that God took us out of Mitzrayim based on a different Pasuk. What was Rava adding? What was so important about that Pasuk that if we don't say that pasuk, we don't add that pasuk, we were not mekayim the mitzvah of seeing yourself as you left Mitzrayim. The second question is, the Haggadah seems to imply that a Rasha, the Rishayim would not have left Egypt, but we know there were Rishayim that left Egypt. The Rishayim worshipped idols, neither they left Egypt. So the question is, when the Haggadah implies the Rishayim wouldn't have left Egypt, what kind of Rasha are we referring to? And what kind of Russia did leave Egypt? The third question is, how come in the Haggadah, when we speak about the first stage, the Jews leaving Mitzrayim, we talk about the Jews leaving Mitzrayim, coming down to Mitzrayim, I'm sorry, we talk about the fact, because the Haggadah can be divided into four stages, the Jews coming down to Mitzrayim, the Jews being enslaved, the Jews davening to Hashem and being answered, and the fourth phase is the phase of them leaving Mitzrayim. And then right at the end, discussing the first phrase, the Haggadah tells us what was the schus, the merit they had that caused them to leave Mitzrayim, that God gave them two mitzvahs as they were leaving. Seemingly in the wrong place, we're talking about this when we're still discussing the stage of the Jews coming down to Mitzrayim, being successful in Mitzrayim. The fourth question is, as we said, the two mitzvos that gave the Jews the schus to leave Mitzrayim were Dam Bris Milah and Dam Korban Pesach. What was unique about and similar about these two mitzvos that enabled Jews to leave Mitzrayim? And the fifth question was in regard to Korban Pesach. Why is it that when it comes to Korban Pesach, we had a Hava Mina? We thought, or we could have thought, that as soon as a non-Jew converts, he has to bring a Korban Pesach right away, even though that's not the conclusion. But why would you even have an original idea like that? What is unique about Korban Pesach? Different than, you know, the mitzvah, you say that he has to fulfill it. You would think he has to fulfill it right away. And then the last question is, why, when in general we equate a mummer, a Jew who works as idols, to a Jew who violates Shabbos in public in regard to having korbanot, when it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, we don't equate it. A mummer who worships idols stands by himself. He can't eat from the Korban Pesach, but a mummer who violates Shabbos in public is allowed to eat from Korban Pesach. So in order to answer these questions, we have to really understand what the Korban Pesach is about. Because there's no question during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, the Korban Pesach was the merkaz, the center of the night. And even today, we don't have a Korban Pesach. The spirit of the Korban Pesach is still there. We're supposed to act, imagine like we have a Korban Pesach. The Netziv, he points out the reason why Ashkenazim wear a kittel at the Seder is because with the Zman Beit HaMikdash, the time of the temple, we ate korbanot sacrifices. We had to have special clothes to eat sacrifices. So therefore, on the Seder night, the Balabayit wears also special clothes to symbolize the fact that during the time of the Beit HaMikdash on Pesach night, everyone would have special clothes because they're eating Korban Pesach. We have the Zroa on the table. The whole idea that we eat the Haseba reclining. Go ahead and explain to a non-Jew why we recline. They'll think you're crazy. Who eats that way? We say, you know, we're trying to imagine what it was like during the time of the temple. And then everyone reclined to show freedom, luxury. So this Korban Pesach still is the spirit of the night. What's the Korban Pesach about? There's such a beautiful Meshech Chachma, which I'm going to paraphrase. It's in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, source number 16. It says, Mishchu, the Meshech Chachma says, first of all, disengage yourself from Avodas Kachavim. That's number one. The Korban Pesach symbolized the Jews disengaging themselves because we know Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim worshiped the Seh, the goat. And when the Jews took a Seh, showed we don't worship Avodah Zarah. That's the first step. But once you disengage from Avodah Zarah, idol worship, there's another important facet to Korban Pesach. And he says, Tikhu, take Korban Pesach for the family, for Avisrayim, for friends. In other words, you have the Korban Pesach together of your family and your friends, and then your neighbors. And not only that, it's for the whole nation. The Korban Pesach, even though it's mitzvah seish, shazman grama, it's a mitzvah which is time-oriented, women are obligated in this mitzvah. Why? Because it's a mitzvah for the whole nation. And all the Jews go to the Beit HaMikdash in the same gate, and it says, b'shachatu oto kol kal dat Yisrael, all the nation shechs one Korban Pesach maybe. Why? Because the point of the Korban Pesach is to bring everyone together. Once people agree to disengage, leave the Avodah Zarah idolatry behind, then we start working, bringing the family together. It's got to be with the family. It has to be with your friends, neighbors, even the whole nation. This Korban Pesach comes to heal the people, bring them together as one. Those are the two important attributes to the Korban Pesach. Number one, disengage from idol worship. And number two, you have to go ahead and besides disengaging from idol worship, you have to realize how important the family is. That's the Korban Pesach. And the Sfas Emes points out that that's the idea of Otanu. What's the Otanu? He asked the question, where he says, we say, b'chol dor v'dor, every generation, you have to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. But then we say the Pasuk, b'otanu otzim v'sham, you took us out. What do you mean, see yourself as if? The Pasuk says, you took yourself out. You know what the Peshat is, he says? He says, do you know what the schus was the Jews had to leave Mitzrayim? Dam Mila, Dam Korban Pesach, will all fit in. But it was the fact that Vosanu, that they connected, they saw themselves part of the bigger whole, of Am Yisrael, the whole Am Yisrael, the Am Yisrael in its entirety. And the Sfas Emes says it wasn't just an Am Yisrael of that generation. Vosanu Hotzim Yisham, it's because they connected to every generation. They connected to future generations, the first generation in Eretz Yisrael, the generation of the Shoftim, the generation of the people who lived even with Zman Churban Beit HaMikdash, the generation of the Crusades, the generation of Beitar, the generation of the Jews in Bavel, the generation of the Jews in the 16th, 17th, the generation of Jews in the Haskalah, in the Enlightenment period. They connected to every single generation. It was intergenerational. That's Vosanu. And when we say the Ki'ilu Yatzah is because what it, like they left, because the only reason they left is because they connected to us. And Vosanu Hotzim Yisham, it means that because they're connected to all of Klal Yisrael, all generations, they're able to leave Mitzrayim. In other words, so the leaving Mitzrayim was happened because we left as a whole and we connected to the whole, but not just to that generation, to every generation, the Sfasama says. In Tafresh Nun Ches, he says, every single generation. And that's the Korban Pesach. We have to come together, start the family, friends. That's the idea of Korban Pesach. And that's what Rav was adding. Rav said, it's not just enough to believe and imagine like left Mitzrayim. You have to realize that the only reason we left was because the Jews connected to everybody and they connected to us also. And it's because they connected to us that we left. And what we take out of this is that not only do we have to feel like we left, we were part of that all, but just like they realized everyone was part of Am Yisrael, we have to realize that too. We're not allowed to exclude anybody. Vosanu Hotzim Misham is to realize that everyone is part and parcel of Klal Yisrael. And we have to realize that every single Jew is important. Let me explain of a story what that means. The Panovich Rav, Rav Kahaneman, was a fundraiser par excellence. What he built in Eretz Yisrael at the most difficult times, but greater than his ability to fundraise, was the love he had for every single Jew. And therefore, when he would try to raise money, the donors felt the love, the passion. So one time, there was someone in Florida that he used to go visit that was, you know, might not have been religious, but he realized how important Torah is, Eretz Yisrael is, and he always would give the Panovich Rav a beautiful donation, very significant. Anyway, this person, you know, as would have it, passed on to the next world, his two sons took over, and sometime after his death, the Panovich Rav came back to Florida, made a meeting, wasn't easy to make the meeting, the two sons. Comes down to the office, tells the secretary, members, the rabbi, well, calls this one of the sons, and says, you know, the rabbi's here. I said, okay, we'll meet with him. Tell him to sit in the waiting room. We'll meet with him. 5 minutes pass, 10 minutes pass, 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes pass. And the secretary, who understood and remembered the great reverence the father had for this rabbi, felt so bad. And he went ahead and he said, she called him again and said, he's waiting. Oh, wait, we'll do another few minutes. Finally, after 45 minutes, they call him in. Sits down. He says, Rabbi, we know that our father supported you. We want you to understand that we're not like our father. I think it's very important. We're not going to support you, though. The Panovich Rav sits there. And, you know, they understand what he's about to say. He's going to be very honest. So I have a problem. You two are on this list of people who connect to the Klal, to Am Yisrael, to the importance of supporting Am Yisrael. And when you tell me that you're not going to support, even though you have the ability, I think you want to take your name off the list. I can't take your names off the list. Here, take this paper. You take your names off the list. I can't do it. Needless to say, they couldn't erase their names, and they gave the Rav a very, very significant donation. And the Rav, I guess, as you do, gave him a big hug and a kiss afterwards. But that message, we can't take any Jew off the list. Every Jew, and I'm going to add, who connects to the Jewish nation and is a halachic Jew, is part of Am Yisrael. And Vosanu Hotzim Yisham means we have to recognize that not only did we leave Mitzrayim, but every Jew left Mitzrayim. And it's because of that we all left. And if you don't mention that, you don't emphasize that, then you missed a whole point. And that's what Rava adds. And that's why the Rambam feels it's so important to focus on that pasuk to realize it's b'schus that we connect to all generations of Klal Yisrael. And we left Mitzrayim. And I think that that's the pshat with the Ben HaRasha. We tell the Rasha, Yilo Yitasham, if you weren't there, you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. You wouldn't have been redeemed. Why? because the Russia comes in and says, "Ma, voters says lachem, I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of this nation anymore." We tell the Russia that attitude, you left the state of Mitzrayim. Because why did the Jews come out of Mitzrayim? Because they wanted to connect to Am Yisrael. They wanted to be part of Am. Yeah, there were Jews that didn't leave. Those are the ones that did not want to be part of Am Yisrael, did not want to come to Am Yisrael, did not want to connect. The Jews who wanted to connect, they definitely would have stayed. They definitely would have stayed. They would have come out. This Russia, he's saying right now, I don't want to be part of Klal Yisrael. Vavos lachem, that attitude. You would have remained in Mitzrayim. That's what we tell the Russia. However, Tzadik points out that today the Russia is still part of Klal Yisrael. Once we will redeem, every Jew is still a Jew. How come? I think for two reasons. Reason number one, the non-Jews will not allow a Jew to disconnect. As famously said, the last train to Auschwitz, there were a lot of Jews. Actually, I would just say they were actually Jews who may be mothered intermarried, children of Jews who intermarried, but we're all Jewish. There's no more we can disconnect. Also, I think very important, once our ancestors connected in Mitzrayim, there's something in our soul. And maybe in Mitzrayim he wouldn't have left. Rav Tzadik says now he's part of Am Yisrael. There's a beautiful story the Blujava Rebbe tells that happened in the camps. Blujava Rebbe, Admorami Blujav, was in the camps, and Yom Kippur was approaching. He didn't want to do malacha on Yom Kippur. So he went to the kapo, and in general, we know the kapos in the camps do not have the best reputation, and said, "Can you give us some work to do on Yom Kippur that would not involve malacha?" And the kapo said, "I'll see what I can do." Come Yom Kippur, he takes them to a house of one of the Nazis. SS officer says, "Okay, you can leave the house today." So the Rebbe and his Hasidim that were there were cleaning the house. No malacha d'oraisa, they were so happy. And they were singing the piyutim Yom Kippur. Lunchtime, the Nazi SS soldiers, Yimach Shemam v'zichram, come into the house with a tray, a cart full of delicious food. They say, "Lunchtime." He said, "We're not hungry." "Yeah, of course you're hungry. A bunch of liars. The reason why you don't want to eat is because it's Yom Kippur for you, Day of Atonement. You have to eat. We don't want to eat. You don't even, we're going to kill you." At that point, they felt halachically and give it their life. So they said, "We're not eating. Let's call the kapo." They called the kapo. Said to the kapo, "The Jews don't want to eat." Said, "Well, they don't want to eat." He said, "Listen, we want them to eat today, dear Yom Kippur. So either you force them to eat or we're going to kill you. You kill them, we'll kill you." He said, "I'm not going to go ahead. I'm not going to force them." They took out a pistol, held it to his head, and they said, counted to three, and they shot him dead. The Blujava Rebbe said about this kapo, "Kipela harimo rakoseich," like the shell of a pomegranate are the empties of the Jews. They're so full of schuyos, merits, and mitzvos. Why? Because in our neshama, once we left Mitzrayim, once our ancestors connected, in general, we're part of the Jewish nation. Part of the Jewish nation. You know, sometimes you have a Jew who informs other Jews to a non-Jewish government. Then it is a tefillah against them, but we're part. But that was the Russia in Mitzrayim that wouldn't leave. That's the Russia of our God. Doesn't want to connect to Am Yisrael. The Rishayim who left, that the Malachim were upset about in the Yamsuf, they were the Rishayim who want to connect to Am Yisrael. So then, and then the question is, we saw the third question, well, actually the fourth question. I'll come back to the third question in a minute. We saw that the Jewish people had no merits. And what merit could leave Mitzrayim? Left in the Mitzrayim, in the merit of the two mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Which two mitzvahs did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the mitzvahs of Bris Milah and Korban Pesach. What was unique about Bris Milah and Korban Pesach? What was unique about Bris Milah and Korban Pesach because both are mitzvos that identify a person as a Jew. Bris Milah, it's obvious. Everyone knows that. And even as Jews were going far away from Yiddishkeit, from Judaism, they all wanted their children to have a Bris Milah. And Korban Pesach, as we said, we saw before, it's Mishchu. It's draw yourself away from Avodah Zarah. But it's not just drawing somebody from Avodah Zarah. What it's doing is it's saying it's coming together as a family, coming together as friends, coming together as a nation. It identifies you as a Jew. And when the Jewish people fulfilled two mitzvos, which identify them as Jewish, Bris Milah and Korban Pesach, at that point, they were able to go ahead and they were able to leave Mitzrayim. And why is it that a Ger, when he converted, there was a Havamina, there was a thought that maybe they should bring a Korban Pesach right away on that day, male or female, right away, even though it's not the conclusion? Because you might think that as soon as a Jew converts, a non-Jew converts to Judaism, he says, sure, right away, I identify as a Jew. You have to bring a Korban Pesach. To show your identification, you're part of the Jewish nation. Conclusion is no. There are ways to show identification, and the way to do it is to bring Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. And why is it that even though in regard to regular Korban, even though we equate Korbanos, we say a mummer who worships idols is similar to a mummer who violates Shabbos? But in regard to Korban Pesach, a mummer, so a Jew who violates Shabbos publicly, can lead to Korban Pesach? Because the whole point of Korban Pesach is to bring together a Jewish nation, Jewish people who identify as Jews, who identify as part of the Jewish nation. How can we exclude somebody that identifies as a Jew even though he doesn't keep Shabbos? You can't exclude him, okay? Someone who worships idols, that's obvious. You worship idols, there's something very wrong there. We know that against early Christians, Chazal made a bracha of l'almina malti sikva. But once you don't worship idols, yes, we might exclude them somewhat, but to exclude them from the korban that goes ahead in the korban, that the korban, the sacrifice that brings Jews together, that we can't do. And now I want to answer the fourth question, I believe, or actually the fourth question. Fourth question I asked was there's a third question. I apologize. The third question, that if we go back to source number nine, that when Haggadah is discussing the stage where the Jews were coming down to Mitzrayim, all of a sudden, right there, in the middle of the Haggadah, the Arizal adds these psukim that we saw, ve'everloch, ve'erech, mispossesses b'damayich, you're wallowing in the blood. We saw that what blood were they wallowing in? Question is, what's chus? They left Mitzrayim. They had no schuyos. They're naked. Because in left Mitzrayim, God gave them two mitzvahs. Dam Bris Milah and Dam Korban Pesach. Question is, it's seemingly out of place. It really belongs at the last part of the Haggadah. The Jews left Mitzrayim. What is it doing in this spot here as we discuss and elaborate that the Jews were coming down to Mitzrayim? We mentioned it before they were even enslaved. Why is it here? I have a Haggadah from a very special person who I met when he was already elderly, Reb Chaim Nussbaum, Mishibud L'Gula. He gave me his Haggadah. He was a principal at Chaim. There are amazing stories about him. I really only was acquainted with him in his old age. As he was older, I would go sometimes after, when I was in Toronto visiting, I'd go see him after Shulon Shabbos, my father-in-law. When I got married, he gave me this Haggadah, my wife and myself, this Haggadah. He inscribed it. And he explains, you want to know, if you think about it, how do the Jews have the courage to be machal the Korban Pesach? To go in the face of the Mitzrim who thought the seah was an idol and say, we're going to sacrifice this. How does the Jews as an adult have the courage to go ahead and give themselves Bris Milah as adults? It says, That happened because of what they were taught in the first stage. In the first stage, they were taught, they were B'nai Avraham Yaakov. They were part of this special group that came from the Avos. And that knowledge, that they might have been naked with no mitzvos, but that knowledge that was imparted to them, that they are part of Am Yisrael, that knowledge was the knowledge they carried with them through the second stage of the enslavement, the third stage of the crying out to Hashem and the cry, tefillahs being accepted, and the fourth stage leaving Mitzrayim. And that enabled them, that knowledge enabled them to be able to give themselves bris milah and korban pesach. That really enabled them to do that. And for that reason that's mentioned in the first stage, when they came down to Mitzrayim, because it's only because of education in the first stage that they were actually able to follow through and they were able to go ahead and have the commitment and the strength to do these mitzvahs. So what do we see from the shir, the answer to the questions? I think it's very clear that really the point of Pesach night is to realize how important it is to recognize the whole Jewish nation as being one unit, and the whole salvation happened because of that. That's the message of Korban Pesach. It's not just a message that we have to connect to the nation. We have to realize that everyone's connected. And that's Vosanu. And that's the idea of Korban Pesach. And that's the idea of why we allow a mummer to eat from the Korban Pesach. That's the message of Pesach night. To realize we left because we're one nation, and to realize everyone's part of that nation. And how difficult and challenging and sad and scary it is when, unfortunately, we see the Jews not united. So the question is, great. What's the solution? I don't want to raise problems. You know, it's fascinating. The Meshech Chachma that we saw, source number 16, the Meshech Chachma, it takes it in stages. Take the Sef, first build your family, then go to your friends, then your neighbors, then the nation. You have to start small. Starting small is so important. If you look at source number 19, going to Megillas Esther. So we know that when the Jewish people are wondering, Mordechai and Esther, how did this evil decree happen? That they wanted to wipe out, Haman wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and it seemed like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was letting things progress in that direction. What was the Avera that they had? So it's clear, Haman says to Achshverosh, I'm a Fuzer Mafurad, the Jews are a scattered nation, lack of unity. That was the chait, that was the sin. So besides davening and fasting and defending yourself, the Jews have to do tshuva. How are you going to do tshuva? So Esther says to Mordechai in Perek Dalid, Lech Kenosis, call Yehudim, go gather all the Jews that are found in Shushan, every single Jew in Shushan. Why the word call? Why not Yehudim? No, when I was growing up in Chicago, my father had a first cousin. First cousin, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was so far from Yiddishkeit, so far from Judaism. You know, maybe he thought that, and I understand after the Holocaust, he ran away, his whole family was wiped out, wanted to come to America, wanted the world to forget that he was Jewish, that he was Jewish, moved to Chicago, was totally not connected. I'm not sure I should say Baruch Hashem for him, or unfortunately for him, his first cousin, my father, moved to Chicago in the 60s, and the connection was recreated. We used to have him over for Thanksgiving dinner every year in our house. I think the reason we had Thanksgiving dinner because it was the only opportunity to invite him to our house. Because on Shabbos Yontif, you couldn't invite him. He would drive. As a matter of fact, in my bar mitzvah, the Shabbos part of the bar mitzvah was not printed on the English side, only on the Hebrew side. Because my father was afraid if it was printed on the English side, he would drive to the yeshiva on Shabbos and the bar mitzvah. And for that reason, almost nobody besides my family and the yeshiva bachrim came to my Shabbos bar mitzvah. They came on Sunday. Okay, that was fine. But he was so far from Judaism, Torah. And he grew up, by the way. And my father sat in the house of a tzaddik. If there was a Jew 40 years after the Shoah, the Holocaust, living in Chicago, could forget and not act like a Jew and sort of, you know, forget what it means to be Jew and sort of outside the Jewish community. It's so far-fetched to think that in Shushan, 60 years after the Churban, there weren't Jews like that. There were Jews like that. Esther says to Mordechai, Kol HaYehudim, you want to save the Jews, we have to fix the problem. Gather every single Jew, find every Jew, I don't care how far they are. Bring them together, because we have to somehow or another, we have to heal the nation. We have to heal what Haman pointed out. I'm the Fuzer Mafurad. They are a scattered nation. Gather them all together. What good is gathering the Jews together in Shushan going to do one small city when the empire of Achashverosh, so many countries, the Jews were scattered? And the answer is start small. And every step you make is going to have an impression. It's going to accomplish something. Lech Kenos as Kol HaYehudim. And I would say the same thing. If we want to heal the people, we have to start ourselves. At least myself, we should do something. What should we do? So, you know, let's look at the end of the Megillah, source 20. Mordechai Yehudi, Mishnah Lamelech Achashverosh. The last words of the Megillah describing Mordechai, the Dover Shalmo Chozara. He would speak peace to all his descendants. What does it mean to speak peace? Even Ezra says he would say hello to all his descendants. He would start a greeting. He would start a conversation. You see a Jew, whether it's in shul, not during davening, on the street, in the store, on the bus, at a simcha, somewhere else, say hello. Talk to them. If we start being friendlier, just like in Shushan, it'll have an impression. Just like the Korban Pesach, you start small, start your family, then go on to your friends and your neighbors and the whole nation. Let's start small. That, I think, is a way, as we say in Israel, l'shakem at the am, to heal the nation. Bring them back together. I want you to know, when you go ahead and you actually say hello and have a conversation with somebody, you never know what's going to do to the person. I have to tell you a few stories and we'll finish. First story, you know, there are a lot of people that I know that were like that. They were always, always, always be friendly to people, say hello wherever they met. Now, my wife's grandfather, someone who Baruch Hashem I had the schus to know, become very close to, Benjamin Gennaro, whose yahrzeit was this past week, he was such a person. So friendly to everybody. He had the ability to talk to a 4-year-old, 3-year-old, to a 95-year-old. That was amazing. He made it look easy. And, you know, when he used to come visit us a lot, and he would take the bus from Yerushalayim to Ramat Beit Shemesh. And in those days, the last stop on the bus was the corner near our house. The bus driver would see somebody, an older man, last person on the bus, asked him, where do you want to go? 2030 at Yarkon. In those days, according to the law, the bus could stop anywhere. Say, you know what? I'll take you to your bus. I'll take you to your granddaughter's house. And he would take the bus, turn the bus, stop in front of the house. He'd come down. Okay. And about 5 years before my grandfather-in-law passed away, he stopped taking the bus. He was a little older, take a cab, get a ride. Anyway, I guess somewhere in the year of his patira, his death, so his great-granddaughter is coming to us to visit. And again, the law was, you can stop anywhere you want, the bus. So the bus driver saw there's a young lady with a baby on the bus. He says, he goes ahead and he says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to 3rd Yarkon. He says, okay, great. I'll take you there. Stops the bus from the house, and he says, you know, there used to be an older man I used to drop off here also. Whenever he came, such a nice person. So the lady said, that was my great-grandfather. And I want you to know, this baby is named after him. He died this year. And you saw this bus driver, how his face fell, how he looked ready to cry. Because why? Because 5 years before, he knew this person. When you talk to people, you lift them up. You bring them up. You remember. It really goes ahead. And you really go ahead. And you really make them feel much better. You change their life. Actually, this Shabbos in Shul, someone in my Shul had a yahrzeit. Another for his father. When he asked me to speak at the Shloshim a number of years ago, I described his father as the kind of person who always would talk to people, make them feel good. He said to me, "How did you know? You met my father once." I said, "Because your father made an impression upon me when I was in Buffalo. I walked into the show. He made me feel so good." But I want to leave you one more story, and this story involves myself, and then we'll tie the shiur up. In the year of mourning, Avelus for my father was Erev Shabbos Agadol, 21 years ago. I get a call on the phone. Someone comes along and somebody calls me up and says, "Mr. Soloveitchik," said, "Yeah," he says, "up. Oh, I'd like you to Messiah Kedushin at my wedding." Right? It was a person that was a cousin in the family. And I said, "A Soloveitchik family." So I have to tell you, I'm the youngest in the Soloveitchik family, the youngest of that generation. I'm the youngest. I think, compared to everyone else, I refer to myself as the Ketanim, Shebe Ketanim. And how could I do it in the face of people who are older than me, you know, bigger than me? I said, no. Just one second. It's a Motzei Shabbos. His father calls me up and says, "You have to do it." I said, "I feel very uncomfortable. How can I do it?" He said, "Okay. Chol Hamoed Pesach, you'll visit your aunt. She'll tell you." Anyways, I visited my aunt. I decided to do it. And she said, "I have to do it." I did it. I asked reshus from all those I felt I should get reshus from. That was not a Kedushin. After the wedding was over, I asked my cousin, "Why did he want me to start a Kedushin? Like, I really have nothing to do with him." He said, "I want you to know," he says, "one time he brought his grandmother to visit your father. And you know, in my apartment, actually, and you know, just one second." He brought my grandfather, his grandmother, visit your father. And you know that when a brother and sister talk, it's very exciting. Everyone was sitting around listening, and he was sitting alone. And you got up to talk to him for 15 minutes, and you made him feel so good. And the truth is, I don't remember the story. I don't remember everything that I did. But can you imagine? I spent time talking to him, and because of that, he wanted me to be Messiah Kedushin at his wedding. When you talk to somebody, you lift them up. You can't imagine what you do. And I think that if we want L'shakem, to heal the nation, start small. Every individual, you see a Jew, talk to him, say hello. Sometimes certain Jews give you the feeling, okay, he said hello, great. But I want you to know, when you talk to somebody, you make them feel so good. Achdus, unity, recognizing every Jew as part of the nation is so important. And what can we do to heal? What we can do to heal is to go ahead and to make everyone feel like we're part of the same family, the same nation. And if we start small, Meshech Chacham puts out the Korban Pesach, start your family, move on. We can somehow unite the entire nation. It will happen. And then we'll all be Zoche. And we're taking the Korban Pesach, the Korban that basically represents the Achdus of the entire nation and the unity of the entire nation. And Mirch Hashem, we should Zoche be very to all good things. And Zoche to the Mirch Hashem, to the Binyan Bayis and the future Gula, as we always talk about. In the Brach of Gal Yisrael, everyone should have Chag Kasher V'Sameach, Thank you so much for all joining in.